Get lifted. They already know what time it is. Go ahead and get lifted. Get connected with people who's getting lifted. This the spot, and this is hot. Get lifted radio, baby, what you got? We rocking with Magic Love, tell them who you got. This the spot, and this is hot. Get lifted radio, baby, what you got? We rocking with Magic Love, tell them who you got.
Get lifted.
They already know what time it is. Go ahead and get lifted. Get connected with people who's getting lifted. This the spot, and this is hot. Get lifted radio, baby, what you got? We rocking with Magic Love, tell them who you got. This the spot, and this is hot. Get lifted radio, baby, what you got? We rocking with Magic Love, tell them who you got. Let's do it.
Get lifted.
Yo. What it do? It's Magic. You know, Magic Love.
Pastor Jordan on the beat.
We're live from Jacksonville, Florida. What it do, my good people?
Survive, and you still here. So from here you only gonna rise. Spread them wings so they can tell you how far you wanna fly. You don't gotta pop them pills, I know just how you feel. I know there's a lot of fake love, but this love is actually real. But that can't stop you now, you already on the battlefield. up now. How you gon' win? I know them stressful nights made you and them pills best friends. I know it feels good, but this shit just gotta end. I'm counting on you, boo. Put this peer pressure on you. If I overcame that shit, I know you can make it too. I don't wanna see you lose. That's other way to heal that root. I know you can make it to see what's at the end of the tunnel.
Never give up. We're almost at the top of the hill now. It took a long time to heal now. And you know that I know, and you know, and they know that we'll never give up. We're almost at the top of the hill now. It took a long time to heal now. And you know that I know, and you know, and they know that we'll never give up.
Don't drown now.
Never give up.
I've come for you.
Never give up.
I'm here for you.
Never give up. We're almost at the top of the hill now. It took a long time to heal now. And you know that I know, and you know, and they know that we'll never give up. We're almost at the top of the hill now. It took a long time to heal now. And you know that I know, and you know, and they know that we'll never give up.
I love you.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Get Lifted Radio. I'm your host, Maggie Love. We're live from Jacksonville, Florida. And that was Cardi B, Never Give Up. Never Give Up. That's one of my favorite tracks by her. I like it. It's an inspirational track. It has a very positive message behind it. And if you have followed just her hustle and her grind, you may not like her music, but you definitely got to respect her hustle and her grind. But today, our guest is Murdoch, representing New Jersey and Belize. Today, we're going to talk about police brutality. We're also going to talk about the political state of our country. We're also going to discuss with him a project that promotes positivity, love, friendship. Definitely something that's needed today, for sure. So with no further ado, I want to get into one of Murdoch's tracks. This track right here is one of my favorites. It's a very motivating track to me. If I listen to this in the morning, it definitely makes me want to just go about my day and just attack it all. So here we go with I Am the Leader by our guest today, Murdoch, right here on Get Lifted Radio. Bow!
Sasuke has shouldered the entire burden of Uchiha's hatred and intends to strike deep into the world with that curse. That hate is his most powerful weapon, his friend, and the source of his power. That is Sasuke's ninja way. Sasuke chose this path all on his own.
The only thing left to do is to ask him myself.
Twist on a beat.
I am the leader. Oh, I am the one. They call me. Minato Sun. Endora of pain. Y'all won't remember my name. I am the leader. Oh, I am the one.
I'm putting on camo. Got nothing but hate for my barrel. You can tell me nothing. You don't know pain. You don't know sorrow. I can pray for tomorrow. Give it all for tomorrow. I tell you that I am the one. And if you want more, that I am the one. You don't know shit what I've been through, man. I seen it, I lived it. I can't believe it. I dreamed it, became it. Won't deceive it. Brother, I believe it. Let me spit you my thesis. Let me show you why I see it. This is my road. This is my path. This is why they call me the genius. This is why they call me the genius.
I am the leader. Oh, I am the one. They call me. Mino to Sun. Endora of pain. Y'all will remember my name. I am the leader. Oh, I am the one. I am the leader. Oh, I am the one. They call me. Uchiha blood. Endora of pain. Y'all will remember my name. I am the leader. Oh, I am the one.
Sometimes you can feel it.
Sometimes I
Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I feel it inside of me. Sometimes I feel it inside of me. What do you think that this is? I came here to handle my biz. You know that I do. Came here to find out the truth. I don't go back on my word. You know that I'm back on the curve. Shit, I'm back on my verbs. Packing my herbs and relaxing my nerves. And it's back to the birds. We pimp on the curve. Take them to church. Open their mind and feed them the word. Cause I'm here and I'm riding for you. Cause my friends are worth dying for, dude. Looking back, I was lost too, but my mother and father said God knew every road that I walked through, every rapper I called through. So please don't forget when you pass through.
I am the one, I am the leader, oh, I am the one. They call me Nino Sultan, endurer of pain. Y'all will remember my name. I am the leader, oh, I am the one. I am the leader. Oh, I am the one. They call me. Ooh, blood. Endure our pain. Y'all will remember my name. I am the leader. Oh, I am the one.
I've never felt like this before. I can feel the tainted Uchiha name becoming cleansed. I feel the Uchiha at last being free from this rotting shinobi world. You couldn't even begin to understand it. And besides, isn't what I'm doing exactly what you leaf shinobi have wanted all along? You've always snubbed and put down the Uchiha clan. So I'll simply help erase the Uchiha from your memories by killing all of you and then destroying the Hidden Leaf Village.
Yo. That was I Am the Leader. I Am the One by our man Murdoch. Make sure you follow him on Instagram and Twitter at MURDAKKH, as in Harry Murdoch. With no further ado, we want to bring our guest in the building, Mr. Murdoch himself. Now residing in New Jersey. What it do, man? What it do? Welcome back to Get Lifted Radio, man. What's up?
Oh, man, just been real busy, man, real busy. Just came out of the studio yesterday. Went down to 211 Studio, check out my man Supers, and started back working on the audio side of the project again. Because, you know, I've been working on the video side for the past 4 to 5 months. So finally got back in the studio. Seen my good friend Do It All. You know, big shout out to Do It All. He's running for city councilman in Newark. So, you know, make sure you go out there and go follow Do It All and the 211 management team. You know, it's a great squad. They're real supportive of my music. And, so we went out there, just knocked out some records. Had Smarty All Crazy out there with me. I think the biggest thing that we did was kind of get some foundation around that the songs. You know, like the toughest thing for me right now is trying to not be too biased on any record that I'm creating. So, you know, I try to put forward as honest as amount of information that I have on both sides to kind of make sure each song, as you're going through the process of listening to the album, each song doesn't really kind of tip you off to what exactly is going to happen in the end.
Nice. Well, I know you've been busy. I definitely see you've been busy. So big you for staying busy and just, you know, sticking with your craft, man, and not only just exposing yourself on the music side of things, but I really like the fact that, you know, you are becoming a creator as well. Like, not only are you creating and ideas that are the adults, if like keeping the youth in mind, I feel like a lot of entertainment today, we don't include the youth, and I feel like the youth definitely need to be included more in a positive, other than, you know, telling them to sip lean and pop pills and, you know, all that crazy, and not going to do them much good when they're about 21. You know what I mean? So
man, I appreciate that, man.
Talk a little bit about your project, the Rennegan project. and, you know, let people know why you started that and where is it going?
So basically I started it because a few years ago, 2-3 years ago, I went to Belize and just a regular flight home, nothing serious really, went home to see my family and got a chance to meet up with my good friend Red and Blake, DFL. And he started telling me, and DFL is the guy. He's kind of like my, contact manager out in Belize at the moment. And he was just telling me about where he worked at, and a couple bells rang off because I knew my cousin, Leon. He used to work there too, so kind of had a little glimpse of an idea of the National Youth Cadet Corps Center where they both worked at, and I had a little thing about what was going on there. So we went over there. I got a chance for me to talk with the director, Ms. Mack, and got to meet with some of the kids. And, you know, I really seen the situation that we're kind of going through. A lot of good kids, you know, just unfortunately they didn't have the correct foundation to kind of help them down the road they wanted to go. So they fell in trouble with law. And so ever since then, we've just been on this motivational stretch, really just trying to create content to not only teach these children that they do have a value to them, they can be something important to the world, not just in a negative aspect, but in a positive aspect, and that they can put an impact in not only their own neighborhood, but their own community, country, and worldwide. So, you know, we started working on trying to find a way of how we could create music to make them understand that, but still kind of keep it cool in a way. So one of my friends, Mark, came up to me and he asked me if I ever knew about the anime Naruto. I didn't see it that much up to the time, 3-4 years ago. So we started binge watching and had a great message of our ideology fighting against terrorism. So basically, you know, one real way to kind of destroy an ideology or defeat ideology is with another one. You know, it can't be something of a material state because the ideology is in a mental state, spiritual state. So decided to just, you know, start doing records talking about, you know, and some of the records are kind of harsh, you know, like it's talking about pain and revenge. So, you know, we're trying to get people to understand that, you know, not every time, but there are some occasions that people do things wrong in this planet because they were drove to a certain maddening point to do it, right? And whether that is someone turning into a suicide bomber because their family died in an explosion 6 months earlier, or a kid shooting up a school because he got bullied too much and he finally, you know, his straw finally broke, right? So
right.
Either way you look at it, the moral of the message is that, you know, to kind of get the community that we're all looking for, hoping for, voting for, you know, it really does take a balance of both sides, a balance of the side that some of us don't like talking about and a balance of the side that we all love talking about. So we started working on that. I picked up Fishes Productions, my good friend Lamar Charles. He's an awesome videographer and a multimedia producer. And he has been helping me fine-tune and scrape through all the video process of it. We are, instead of doing music videos for the project, we're going to do kind of like a one-minute short stories, almost kind of like a little Tribeca style. And just because we wanted this stuff to be a little bit more not dated, we didn't want you to kind of listen to it and hear a certain type of style of rap and be like, oh, wow, yeah, this is 2016 because it sounds like Lil Uzi, so I know exactly what he means.
Right.
You know, so we try to keep away from that. And, you know, I make the joke with Super's engineer all the time. I say, man, when I was speaking to my beat maker and my producer, Jay, Pure Quality Jay, Laptops and Plugins on Twitter, I always say to him, I says, man, I want you to think like Seal, Kiss from a Rose, you know, like Batman Forever type stuff. And he's like, you serious? And I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't want nothing that someone can just pinpoint something. I really do want you to listen. And some of it is kind of long and drawn out a little bit, but that's because I want you to listen. I intentionally made it this way for people to kind of be like, oh, it's there's like 2 minutes of talking. Yeah, listen to the talking. It's important. If you can listen to a couple of seconds of Uzi, you can listen to me talk for 2 minutes. And if you can't, you can. I'm not mad at you either. You know, I always said it to people like, you know, what you take from it is what you take from it. It's like one of those things I just felt I needed to do, regardless of whether or not the world appreciated it the way I felt it needed to do. I wanted to create something that was going to be timeless, to let these kids know that you don't have to do the thing that everyone else does to be cool. And I'm going to prove the factor of that by doing something that no one else probably would do, and you can still be cool by doing it.
So you stated that you went back to Belize, and I know you live, currently you reside in Jersey. You've also been a part of the services as well. And so just being an artist, being an individual that comes here from another country and experiencing serving for a country where obviously there's a lot of biases. However, whenever we need you, we expect you to step up. You know, does that play, I'm not going to say does it because I'm almost sure, but how do you tie that in with your message that you're trying to deliver to the youth in regards to dealing with biases such as what I just stated?
Well, you know, I think it's a very, first of all, it's a good question. And secondly, it's a delicate one that I try to answer the best I can every time. And that's just, you know, I am always a Marine, whether or not I'm a veteran or whether I was there or 35 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I never changed that. I love that. That's who I am. A lot of my discipline and core foundation or structure and honor really came from that. And that is always going to be one of the greatest things to me. And I always say this as a Marine, you know, when you're in the military, we really don't pick sides. The military doesn't fight wars inside of the country. So, like, we're not here to destroy our American citizens in the midst of that, right? We are here to fight overseas battles and to do search and rescues and stuff like that, like what we have in Houston, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So military guys, and like for me and a lot of other military guys, we just protect that First Amendment. Right, so it's my job, and it's everyone else's job that has decided to be into the military in the United States to go out there and serve and protect your right to say whatever you want to say. Right, so that what you say is still can be harmful, but it's not my job to dictate what you say. So when I look back at it, I always say to people that America, you know, all right, there's some definite things going on that we all should look at and understand it shouldn't be happening because it's been happening, right? We don't need to develop a chain of rhetoric to understand this has been happening for thousands of years, but it still doesn't knock the point that I still represent a country and the thought of what a country could be. Right? Because if it's 1,000 years from now and we seem to get this right, then being a Marine in America would be the greatest thing in the world now, would it? Either way. So as a military guy, I don't really look at the slumps in the country and the high points of the country on that from the military standpoint. I just look like I have a job and I'm here to protect white, black, green, blue, yellow, Democrat, Republican, socialist, capitalist. It doesn't matter. That, you know, my job is to take care of that core first. After that, as a human being and a man, I say that every group has its spoils to it, right? So whether, no matter what foundation is filled, we are imperfect, as you know, the Bible says we are, and you're going to have bad portions to it, right? Just like you have in every country, there's a bad side to every country. So I think the biggest thing is that what's happening right now, especially like with the police brutality, is like, you know, I always say to people before, you know, I do understand that there's a racial card that is being played. I don't know if that's more of a power card that's being played, more of a I have power and you don't have power kind of card. I mean, look at the great example this past couple of days, the nurse that said no to taking the blood test got dragged out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Right?
And she's a white nurse, right?
So that, I mean, look at that right there. Now, that you know, we could have spray painted her skin and it would have looked the same way now, wouldn't it? And just changed right. the situation and put her on the street. It was the same thing. This is, I think sometimes it really comes down to the point of racism can be masked by drunken power, right? And sometimes the power that people feel they have, and, you know, we've always spoke about this, it's weird sometimes that we watch some of these guys, these cops, they don't get the type of training military guys get, and they go into conflict and combat more than we do. Yeah, our combat might be very large at scale, and, you know, but police go into more difficult situations on a day-to-day basis than a guy being shipped off somewhere that has to deal with large conflict for 6 months and nothing for 3 years.
Right.
Right. So
now, before you go further with that, I want you to hold your thought, because I like where you're going. I definitely like where you're going. And that is a couple of my questions that I have for you, because I know that you have military training and I want to do the comparison and talk about that. I feel like that's very important, especially in today's political state. I don't think that the training to handle what's going on is there. So real quick, before we get any deeper into the conversation, I want to take a quick song break. I want to play your track, the remix, Set Me Free. I like that track. It definitely is a track to set you free. If you like music, you need to add this one to your playlist. We're going to get right into it. Set Me Free by my man Murdoch right here on Get Lit Radio.
Hit the beach and turn it up. Oh, what's your name? While we wait, it's BBM. I'm the head of state. We young and free.
Radio. Welcome back. Get Lifted Radio. We're live from Jacksonville, Florida, with my man Murdoch, representing New Jersey and Belize, talking about police brutality, political state of our country, and also his current project that's in the progress, along with some other things that this, I don't even know what to call you, man. I'm just going to call you a leader, along with what the leader has going on, man. that's what I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you the leader. You are the leader.
I just believe in one thing, and that one thing that I believe in, I stick up to.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate you to the fullest, for sure.
Yeah, man.
So, before we went into song break, we were talking about, well, we were getting ready to touch on a little bit more in depth of police brutality and just the training of police officers themselves versus those who serve in the military. I definitely feel like both types of training can go hand in hand, and I definitely feel like the police force could use some assistance from the military. Give me your take on that. What are some of the big differences that you know of any? Because I really don't. I just feel like the police, they don't receive enough training, especially today.
You know, I think it's the type of training, really. And you know, there's a point of empathy training that has to go down. You know, I think our police department is a very, well, you know, nationwide, they're great cops. You know, so I'm not going to go in there and straight ask police officers. They're great cops out there. But I do think that there's a system of, just like I said, in any groups or individuals or countries, there's systems of protecting bad individuals inside of good units, right? And I think the next thing that's happening is just that, you know, on both sides, we both have to do a very good job of making sure that as a police officer, you can't be walking around afraid, right? Like, if you're nervy and you're a nervy type of person, then you shouldn't be a cop, right? So I think first, mental training is necessary. Let's find out who can really deal with difficult situations and who can't. And the ones that can't deal with those difficult situations, well, then you should be a death clerk, because you're not mentally fit to be holding a gun dealing with people's lives, right? I think that's the next thing. Secondly, a lot of those police force is overweight, right? And that's another thing. You can't catch somebody, you know, 9 out of 10, you're going to pick up your gun and shoot them. So I think that, you know, health and physical fitness is definitely another key. And third probably might be the first one. We just need to pay police officers better. There's a big problem with that. I see a big problem in people that risk their lives all day long getting shitty salary. I mean, all you really line that up for is people that are going to end up turning the road of bad because they have to pay your rent the same way. I mean, like, I'll be honest. Like, I know it's, you know, things are supposed to be leveled out, but, you know, if I'm a cop and I'm making $41,000 a year and bullets are hitting my head off every 4 or 5 days, this is, you know, it's like a Batman theory. It's only so many years before the person that's the hero turns into the villain.
Right.
You know, and
no,
that's,
I definitely
problem.
Agree.
It's a big problem. Like, you can't, like, if you want these guys to take the community seriously, then, you know, on a state and a federal level, we got to take their lives seriously. And if we paid them more money and better money and they realize, like, yo, I make good money, and I, you know, risking that is something else. But when you don't make good money, and this is just a factor, man, when you're in power and you're the one that's telling people what to do and what not to do, 80%, 90% of the population is not going to like it. So I think it's training, and I also think it's respecting what they do and putting them in better situations. You know, like, Do It All said something very important at the studio this weekend. He said, Murdoch, know, when you guys come in, don't leave the door open downstairs. You know, we're in Newark. Don't leave the door open. And I understand what he's saying to me. You understand, like, we're discussing the factor of, you know, that there's people out there already that are in a difficult situation. Don't leave your door open to put them in a situation that you're going to dislike them. So we have to do a very good job, and I think the police department is trying. I do see videos of them trying. I'm not just going to sit here and be like, oh, they're all bad. And I also know videos of them doing good in inside of the community. I just think that we just got to get better. And sometimes, you know, that takes a while.
So, you know, speaking on getting police officers more, you know, because at the end of the day, there's such stigma towards police officers now. You know, how do you think there could be some sort of camaraderie, if you will, amongst police officers and communities now, especially in places where things are really heightened, you know, where people have been shot and killed, or places like Chicago where, you know, crime rates are just off the chain, or like Baltimore, or, you know, you have places in Jersey where I'm sure, you know, I've heard things about Camden, Jersey, and, you know, different Nick Patterson, and, you know, even in Ohio, I'm originally from Ohio, and I hear things about my small city now. I mean, people are committing murder left and right in my small city, Lorain, and I'm like, really? And when I see this stuff on Facebook and things like that, and so then you read in the comments, like, the police are scared to go inside the communities and blah, 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 but it's like at the end of the day, that's what they're being paid to do. So it's like, you know, on one hand, we got racist cops shooting at every chance they get. Then you got, on another end, you got cops who are afraid and nervy, you know, and then you have neighborhoods where they want the police officers in the neighborhoods, and then you have where they thought the police. It's like, how do we come to a middle? How do we do this other than going to council meetings and yelling at wants and our needs? Like, you know, obviously that's not working either.
Yeah. I mean, listen, right? Like, I have a thing for police officers. I say hi. I make eye contact. Right? A lot of guys don't like to make eye contact with the police. I'll make eye contact. Say hi. How are you doing? Right? It's a simple point for this, right? I need him to know that I exist. I need him to understand that I live in this community, that I'm a part of this community, that I'm not a threat to this community. So I say hi because I am in the community. The more, you know, like I said, this is both sides, right? Like, we as people, I think we give them a little too much power, right? We give them too much power. Like, yeah, they have the power to lock us up, but they don't have the power to stop us from saying hi, right? So,
right.
Like, it's one of these things, like, he might care a little bit more about the child and about everybody else if we just don't, you know, because that's what we do with the police, and that's what we do with police streets. We count it as the boogeyman zone, the no-fly zone, right? And we don't even drive in that section of the town, and we leave them over there like they're like an AIDS virus in the corner. Like, no, we don't go over there. We don't look at them. But the reality factor is they're inside the community. You know, you should make, as a parent, especially with children, you should make occasional stops at the police department and see who your police chief is and see who they hired. They can't arrest you for that. It's in your best help to know who the police officers are in your street that are around. And when you see them, you say hi. 9 out of 10, they're going to say hi. I mean, they might be a little, I don't understand what's happening, but they're going to say hi. They, if you approach a cop, they have to engage with you. They can't just look at you and turn their back. So I think we should get to that first instead of our first occasion where we meet police officers. It's in a bad thought. Because we usually only need them when we don't need them and something's wrong, right? Something's happening, it's a ticket or something, and we have a bad assumption of them, and that kind of sticks with us and our family forever. So I think if we kind of meet them on a different light, on a different term, that is something that every community can do. And you can't get arrested for it. Because, you know, once the news, you know, the news gets wind of police officers arresting people because they're saying hi. I mean, that just sounds crazy. That just sounds nuts, right? Like,
or they're coming into their precinct to introduce themselves or figure out, you know, who's running
like,
the show, you know?
Like, come on, man, that's the doctor thing you do, right? Like, hey, don't sit there and just be like, oh, wow, they're the pussy man, and let's not turn the light off. Right, like, okay, turn the light on, go say hi. What's the worst that's gonna happen? They already, if you're on the side of saying that they are evil, well, then they already whooped your ass anyway in the streets anyway. So, we have to try more. We have to try more. We can't just treat it like the AIDS virus, where it's like, oh my God, someone has AIDS in the 80s, and everyone runs away from it.
Right.
Right. We have to try. We have to. We have to say that, guess what, people do die off. Bad cops do die off, just like good cops. So there might be a whole new set of new guys coming in that we should get to them first before the system gets to them. Right? And I think if we do that, man, I think if we try more, man, you know, and in our community, just understand something, man. There is something called noise pollution, right? There is something when you play your music too loud or you're just too loud, you will cause people to come, you know. Like, you know, good audio engineers know that if music's too loud, you blow out your eardrums. So at a certain point, it has an effect. And so a cop has all the right in the world he wants to come into your backyard if your music is going outside of your backyard. Right? So it's like these simple little factors and things that we all have to be aware of, like, and I think sometimes, and that's because we don't know the policies of our community, right?
Right.
We have
yeah,
to know
and
the
you
policies.
Know, I like that you bring that up because, you know, I watch a lot of documentaries, and one of the things that I really noticed when I watched the Black Panther documentary was, you know, Huey and all those guys, they knew, like, the penal codes to the T. You know, like, they're at these speeches and these protests and these council meetings and walking into the Capitol, you know, Sacramento in California. And they were able to I hate to focus on the Black community, but I don't know what really goes on much in the white community when it comes to religion. But like in the black community, man, people are so quick to spit like 50 Bible verses at you, right?
Yeah.
But then their 15-year-old kid or their 16-year-old kid who now can be stopped by the police, searched, and all these things, and should have some sort of ID or whatever the case may be, like, you don't even educate your teenage child at this point, who in some police officer eyes are going to be looked at just for their skin color, and then they're going to be treated as an adult. And this kid has no idea what to even say.
Right. I think that's lack of knowledge, man. And even for the ones that do have that knowledge, I don't think, you know, it's like the person that could make the half-court shot, but is too afraid to even take it, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, some people might have knowledge to defend themselves, but what if I'm wrong? And what if that adds up to even more issues? And what if, and what if, and it's fear, right? It's the fear of it. I think that knowing what's happening and knowing what's going on, you know, just doing your research is very important. And that might, you know, that's something that takes time. Like we always said, that takes years, you know. So we can't beat everyone down for it. We could just move on from now and say, okay, young people that are coming up, educate your kids when you get kids, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
And that's it, you know, like, let's not beat around the bush. The older heads are older heads, and 9 out of 10, they're probably going to be who they are, who they were 20 years ago. So let's slow down for a second and calm down and realize that this is going to take time. The same way it took time to get all of us over here, it's it's going to take time to get this situation done, right? So we cannot rush, and we have to have patience. And I think something like Floyd Mayweather said, you know, how you win, how do you go 50-0? You have patience. You wait, and you analyze everything, and you look at everything, and you take a couple blows for a couple rounds, and then you inflict what you need to inflict afterwards, right? So if we can be patient, I think we'll be fine. I think that, you know, this racism issue is much bigger. You know, it's not just white people and African Americans. It's people in Brazil that are racist towards their own people that are lighter than them,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's really calm down for a second and understand that it systematically is a human trait. That it's something that's inside of us.
Right.
And I would never sit here and say that I have all the answers. I don't know exactly where that comes from, but I don't need to have that answer. I just need to understand that it took time for that to happen. And we have to understand also that we have to, as black men, we have to be home in the community with our children. We have to be more...
Please say that again.
About them doing good. Like, as black men, we have to be in the community with our children. You know,
yeah,
like,
man.
We have to be there. And that sacrifice is the only sacrifice that's necessary. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, they don't have to be your child. They could be the child that's downstairs from the lady downstairs. But, you know, when you get around them, you show them something different. I mean, because we've all seen what our predecessors have shown us. And some of us know exactly if it was good or bad. So it's our duty to raise the community and raise the kids. And, you know, I'm a big guy on that. You know, if I see someone's kid acting crazy out there, I'm snatching you up. I don't care. I'm snatching you up. You can call your mother. You can Facebook her. You can live stream her all you want. She's going to have to come get you because you ain't going to disrespect me or any other adult that's next to me. Because I wasn't able to do that to my father. I wasn't able to do that to my governor sergeant. So they know where
right.
any child is going to come disrespect me. And I'm not upset at that child. They're only acting that way because they were allowed to act that way. Because either their parent was too busy and at work and wasn't around enough to give them the discipline, or their parent is just too tired and afraid. One out of two. Right? So,
I definitely agree with that. I come in contact with quite a few teenagers, especially like when I do Uber, and I pick them up, and whether it be from school, taking them to school, or even college kids, you know, just try to talk to them and see where their mind is at. And based on, you know, what they're saying and what they discuss, that's how our conversation goes. There are some very intelligent kids out here, but at the same time, there's, like you said, there's a lot of kids out here who don't have the guidance, and it's not because a parent doesn't want to at times. Most of the times it's because it's a single parent, and that single parent has to work, and it's usually the mom. So I definitely commend you for saying that loudly. Black men need to be around and be in their kids' life. For sure. You don't have to be with the mother of the child to be a good role model.
You know, and it's a difficult thing. Yeah, you might have to deal with more crap and everything. But the reality factor is the cycle has to break. So if you can't break the cycle from little girls having children too early or children becoming monsters on the street, then, well, okay, so somewhere that cycle has to get snipped. So the only way it can get snipped is if we start educating the young, so when the young gets older, they make better decisions, and hopefully they try their best not to have as many children out of wedlock, right? Out of, not even wedlock, out of understanding of what a child is and how much money it costs and the life that you're raising and the response. You as a parent, you are Superman. Your responsibility is to save a life and to take care of a life all day long. I don't have children like that. You know, I have godkids, nieces and mm-hmm. nephews, but I see what my friends and my brothers go through raising their children, and the job we all do into raising the community of children around us. And, you know, like great guys like V Prod, you know, it, I only say that a parent should be there for their child because I see my guys being there for their kids every day, and I see the great that comes out of it.
Right.
Right.
You see the difference. You can tell the difference.
I see the difference in my own eyes. I see the empathy in the children, the kind of children they're growing up to be, the love in their heart, the respect in them. So I know for a single factor that black men, we just have to be there. It's not a guess. It's not a hypothesis. It's known. It's fact. It's like water. You need it to breathe. It's like balls going up and coming down because of gravity. It's a fact. Right? So, but once again, that has a lot to do with the environment. You know, where are most black men? They're either in jail or they're on the street. Who's around them? It's the environment, right? So, and that goes back to the police department, right? So, I think there's a lot of things that need to change, but I think as a country, as long as we realize that we should police our own at home first, and, here's the thing. If you're racist, then be honest about your racism, you know, because there's another thing that happens too, and I want to say briefly, is the same way there are people that grow up from black households that their grandfathers tell them that white people are racist and are trying to lynch them off a tree every 35 minutes. There are white people growing up inside of these white nationalist households, these KKK households that they're saying, yeah, see that, that's, you know, boogity boogity nigger. That's who's coming. You know what I mean? This is what happened, right? So you have to always understand that sometimes people can break their racism, right? Sometimes like Houston is a good example, right? A lot of white, black, orange, blue, red, everybody need help. And that's a good example of, sure there was a lot of racist people there, but because of the flooding, racism didn't exist for a little bit because the people needed to be safe.
And I definitely agree with you on that. I want to get into a quick song break. And I want to continue on this topic because I feel like platforms such as these podcasts, blogs, just anything that is not a part of the mainstream media that can be edited, things of that nature to be put out there for the public to see. I think these platforms are definitely great to for raw materials, such as just having an open discussion like we're having today. I feel like it's not talked about enough. And as long as we continue not to talk about it, I think things will continue to get worse. So here we go with Pharrell. This track right here is off the Hidden Figures album. If you guys haven't seen the movie, just at least check out the soundtrack. Jeez Louise. Here we go with Running right here on Get Lifted Radio.
Summertime in Virginia was an oven. All the kids eating ice cream with their cousins. I was studying while you was playing the dozens. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. Running from the man. Running from the bad. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. Running toward our plans in the judge's hands. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. I know they say crawl for you all, but in my mind I already jump. If I stand still, I cannot get far. They want the moon, I'm on Mars. Sometimes my mind does deep. When I'm running, I don't want no fear. I am colored. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. I'm running to exams. Job is for a man. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. And the law of the land, women were often banned. Don't act like you was there when you wasn't. I know they say crawl for you all, but in my mind I already chose. I get far. They want the moon, I'm on Mars. Sometimes my mind does. When I'm running, I don't want no free ride.
Girl Frankie Storm, songwriter to the stars, and I'm tuned in with Maggie Love on Get Lifted Radio.
Yo, 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 we're live from Jacksonville, Florida, with our man Murdoch. He's representing Belize and Jersey. That track right there was Running by Pharrell. Y'all make sure you check out that Hidden Figure soundtrack. And if you haven't checked out the movie, man, you're missing out on a good story. You're missing out on a very good motivational story in Black history. So if you haven't checked it out, please check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. So, Murdoch, we were discussing how racism, it goes abroad. It's not here just in the U.S. It happens in other countries. It happens in other places, obviously. And with that being said, you brought up the fact of how we are very much aware that there's 9 times out of 10 there's racism in Houston, Texas. Texas is a red state. With that being said, we have seen photos of the people in Houston coming together, all nationalities. I seen a video where there was like a chain, a human chain, of individuals like rescuing someone from, I think, a truck or something like that. So you're right. You know, it's strange how it takes disasters such a, you know, that type of magnitude for us to put the blinders on and just not see color for a moment and understand that you're helping a human. And it makes me wonder, like, why can't we go on after those moments, you know? And some people probably do go home and think about the fact that, you know what, I've been disliking these individuals because they're darker than me, or because my people told me to believe in this flag that lost this Confederate war that we continue to wave around like we're winners. But that's a whole nother topic. That's interesting. Man, I'm glad you brought that up. What is your take on that?
I mean, you know, I think it's what we've been reinforcing all day today, that let's take a great look at it, you know. Let's call racism what it really is, you know. Power, right? The power to do something to someone that they have no control of stopping. So when do we see human beings show parts of not being racist? When we know we're racist is when someone takes the power away from them, and they are no longer in control, and they become the mask. And then once they become the mask, then they start to care about the mask. Right? So in these situations with, like, you know, the weather, you know, I always look at that as, you know, these are elements of God, elements of planet Earth, and it's out of our control. And when things come like that, feel the greatness and the presence of God even more, and humble, you know, and it gets back to the point of empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Racism can get squashed very quickly, but it needs someone to be humble and patient and to have empathy. And things like that usually only come when tragedy comes, right? Tragedy that's so big that makes you realize, wait a minute, I dislike them for their color, but maybe God dislikes all of us. And then you just have this little moment of how small and insignificant you feel at that moment. And at that moment you realize, wow, maybe I was just wrong the whole time. I think this is why, especially things happen. You know, the country's going through a real rough time. Kind of funny how a hurricane comes out of the blue and now another one's threatening and all these storms just happen because life will find a way to balance things. So it's crazy to create storms. So whether it's God or the planet, you're going to balance this, reminding us how important each other really are.
So what do you think about, how do you feel about Trump and I'm going to have to say his undercover, if you will. I feel like this is an individual who has a very high place and power at this point. And to me, there's underlying, if you will, promoting of treating people pretty bad. I mean, even to the point where he had a press conference, I believe, in New York, and he was like, use more force. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we're talking about a place where people have, more than one person has been killed by the police in regards to excessive force, and you publicly say, I want you to use more force. You know?
Yeah.
Give the thug a thump in the chest. Like, even just his response in regards to the flood and his response in regards to Charlottesville and his responses in regards to people and humanity, period, towards the end of his campaign. Do you think that we already know racism? This country is built off of racism. So, you know, we already know that. And with that being said, I live in the South. I was born and raised in Ohio. And when I came to the South in 2003, I came here, first of all, I lived in Nashville, Tennessee. I went to college in Nashville.
Right.
And when I came to the South in 2003, it was my very first time really having to face the fact that I was an African-American female with dreadlocks. And on top of that, I am a lesbian. So therefore, I have a lot of red flags, like walking into the door for any job or anything like that, right? I have a good education. I'm not a felon or anything of that nature. And moving to the South was the first time I was very tried with my faith and things like that when it came to applying for jobs. I'd never been turned down for jobs. Like, and so it made me, living in the South now for this many years has definitely made me a stronger Black female. The challenges that I have overcome, I know that some of the challenges I have faced here being called a nigger, I've never been called a nigger in Ohio. I was called a nigger one time in my life, and I was playing basketball against a very racist city. So, and then to be called a nigger by someone who's elderly, we are taught to respect our elders. But at the same time, I can't just let you disrespect me because of the color of my skin and you feel like you're inferior to me. Or I'm inferior to you. So, I will tell you that the South is definitely different than the North or the Midwest. One thing I can say is that people in the South, they're very blatant about their racism. They don't hide it. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is very much deep rooted here. And I honestly think that more African Americans need to visit the South. This is where our ancestors went through the most trouble for us to have the freedoms that we have now. And you hear so many people that are afraid to come to the South. But I feel like if you come here and just experience and see what it is that people are actually going through versus where you may live at up north or more places that are liberal, it may motivate you a little bit more to stand on the forefront about change. Because I'm telling you, it's rough down here, and every day is a challenge. Every week, I'm challenged when it comes to how I'm being treated or how I see other people being treated because of the color of their skin. So I definitely want to encourage and say that we need to keep talking about these things, not only talking about it, but finding ways to create organizations. Why don't we come together and figure out another other ways besides marching? You know, marching, that's all good and great, but What else?
Marching. Marching is okay. I never give no problem with marching, but it has to be something a little bit more concrete, you know. Marching got us to where we are right now, and that's a large order and a large task that was accomplished. But the next step is going to be a leap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we need money. We need capital. We need finance, right? So we march to be free. We march to try to have rights. Now we're fighting for respect. That's a completely different other task than just flat out saying, I'm a slave. This is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. Okay, you're free. Now go live with the rest of the Americans. Oh, no, but I don't have enough food. Well, the rest of the Americans don't have enough food neither. So you see, like, we're fighting for respect, for the respect that we deserve. We've gotten freedom, but we're still treated like outcasts. We're still treated like the dog on the corner. Yeah, we're not carrying out no more in front of plain eyes, but we still are not listening to you guys and not caring about what happens to you. And so now we have to get people to care more, you know. And it's an interesting factor, you know. I think that when it comes to the president, I think I always said this to everyone that says the president, I think is a very opportunity. I don't think he really has any real flag that he flies under, really. You know, so when I look at him, I say, you know, he'll probably do whatever is best for him at the moment. You know, there's a difference between, like, the leader of the KKK and Donald Trump, right? The leader of the KKK will always do what's best for the KKK in the long run. Donald Trump will do what's best for him. So if at that moment best for him is Steve Bannon and Breitbart and everybody to help him win, right, that's good. But when that moment changed and his general said, this is not looking right, we need to get rid of him, or you're going to go down, what do you do? He got rid of him, right? So when I look at him, it's even more dangerous because you really don't know where he really lies at, right? You know that he's conjuring all this craziness with the police department and how he's speaking to them about treating us. But it's like, it's a dangerous situation because I wonder what else could he do? You know, how far would he go, right? And we just have to expect that. And you know, we as black people, we shouldn't be too, you know, everything happens for a reason, man. You know, if he's not in office, we wouldn't be having conversation, right? That's the next thing. Slavery ended and we didn't continue the conversation. We just left. Half of us,
yeah,
three quarters of us just left and went north and never looked back.
Yeah. I feel like when Obama made it to office, we just got a little bit too laxed and too comfortable,
yeah,
with feeling like that was.
That's it. We don't.
It was
fight
an accomplishment.
No more,
don't get me wrong. It was an accomplishment, but
it was.
I don't think that we used the momentum that we had on our side, if you will. I don't think that we used it to the full potential. I think that we expected Obama to come in and have this super big S on his chest and just, you know, fix everything and make everything go away and, you know, put all of us in a better position. And, you know, but at the end of the day, again, the president is just, it's just one part of the system. And to be honest with you, the president isn't even the biggest part of the system. So until we educate ourselves on just how the system works, period. And when I say the system, I'm not talking about the poor excuse that so many use, the white man. I'm just talking about, period, the makeup of the United States. But before we go any further, we have a caller from Belize. They hit me up on Instagram. They've been trying to call in, but they won't hold longer than 20 seconds. So I'm going to stop what I'm saying real quick and get them on the line. 9297, you're live. Welcome to Get Lifted Radio. What it do?
A pleasant good day, I must say, all the way from the tropical Caribbean side of Belize. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, we hear you. We hear you loud and clear.
Hey, TFL, what up, though?
What's good, bro? So what's the host name? May I be introduced?
DFL, yeah, I am Maggie Love. We're live on Get Lifted Radio. I know, I'm sorry, Maggie. I know you wanted to say that, but I just wanted to kind of give you the Arsenio Hall kind of shout out, you know.
I appreciate it. Welcome. I appreciate you for calling in from Belize, man. What's the temperature like over there? What's the weather like right now?
The weather is good over here. Subtropical, sunny. We had a few showers, nothing much. You know, it's like, you know, when you wake up and you would wash your face, it's like that to cool the subtropical sun. But
okay.
It's balanced, I must say.
Sounds marvelous.
You know?
Send us some of that
Enjoy
good fruit over here. I know you got
green.
Some good fruit over there. Send us some good fruit.
Yeah, we got to send those fruit. Crabble, we have mangoes, we have
man,
pineapple, soursop, you name it.
Oh, man, I need some of that soursop, man. It's hard to find soursop here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Wait,
so this is very big, right? So guys like Maggie and all the listeners, this is Renan DFL. This is the guy I was speaking about that handles majority of my management stuff in Belize, and he is also one of the guys that works at the National Youth Cadet Corps. So he is the guy that's on the ground 9 to 5 every single day, dealing with the kids, understanding what they're going through, and also trying to develop and implement programs with assistance from all of us to kind of help benefit the kids in Belize.
Nice. Appreciate the work you're doing with the youth, man. Anything that's going on with the kids is definitely much needed. So people like you, we definitely need more people like you in the world.
Thank you. I must say that not only in Belize, all over the world, they are 100% our future. So looking at that, just knowing at that fact that our youth is 100% our future, and that's why, along with myself and Murdoch, we play an intricate role in championing, being those individuals to mold our youth, help them as best as we can, provide opportunities for them, so that whenever their time come now to take over, you know, we are handing over Belize to capable people rather than, chaotic to people who won't be able to continue the good fight, I would say, you know. So, and that's why I'm passionate about it, because our country need leaders, and we need also leaders that provide opportunities for them so that we could continue doing good, so to speak, everywhere, you know, in anybody that we meet, we touch, and we inspire them, you know. And like I said, it's not only for Belize, but also all around the world. We need to invest more in our children. And in simple form, just as, you know, talking to them, hearing them, speaking with them, hearing from them, from their perspective, their point of view of things, that helps. And we learn a lot from children. And I could share a little thing that I learned from my 3-year-old daughter speaking with her. And she said, "Dad," she said like this. She said, "Dad, lata libit," right? And that is Creole, by the way. Lata libit, and I ponder on this saying, lot of little bits, and I started to make sense of it. And when I think of it, I'm looking like say we have a bowl, and we should put a lot of little grapes in the bowl, and it will become a lot of little bits. And I look
a
at
lot
the grain of
bit.
Sand. One grain of sand is, yes, one grain of sand is one. But when you combine a lot of that, a lot of those little bits, you have a lot of little bits, right? So
right.
That was intriguing for me and interesting to ponder on. You know, we can learn from each other everywhere, every day, sorry, and everywhere, you know. And so it's good to work with them. Good to work with them, and I am proud of Murdoch for embracing the movement, for championing
right.
it. He's one that is very passionate about it. He comes to Belize, he meets with them, and I'm not talking about youths who are structured. I'm talking about youths who have single parent, actually who have really poverty-stricken parents who are not their parents, who don't know how to be parents, actually young parents. And he's there, you know, flying all the way from New Jersey, coming in just to come and meet with them and share with them and inspire them and let them know, you know, they could be like him, and he will commit to see how he can help them and champion their cause. And in the same token, try to provide opportunities for them so that they could be inspired, not only by his words, but also by his actions and his movement that he's doing. And
right.
Music is a vehicle for that. The music, his music is inspiring. I don't know if you heard one which he did, What You Do. I don't know what you do, but he mentioned the leaves in it, right? It's like a documentary, lyrically spoken, accompanied by music, and he's talking about his current life experiences and current ventures, and also helping the youth. And he's sharing it, and he's telling people that, you know, I'm committing to helping my people. Matter of fact,
right.
The younger generation who will be, like I said from the beginning, 100% of our future. Right?
Word, man.
I
appreciate that.
But I can go on and on and on.
I agree,
you know?
100%. And I appreciate you for taking the time out to call in and just share your inspiration as well, because that right there, just alone, hopefully there's someone listening in that got inspired just off of your 5 minutes that you have spent with us, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think DFL is such a, you know, his charisma and his attitude and his approach to everything is also such a helpful seed to me. And, you know, him helping me understand the environment even more. And, you know, like we spoke about it before, patience is the virtue. And me and DFL always understand that it takes time. And the reason why we invest into the children is because we are 100% sure that we know we can't finish this by ourselves. And it's going to take the trust and the faith that we have in our kids and in the kids in the community to know that what we start, they'll finish. And that's just a hope of faith. And that faith is only given because you have faith in the future that's coming.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to play that track. I want to make sure we play that track for him, because I do. I got that track, What You Do. That was going to be my track that I was going to play next.
Wow. Great minds think alike, I must say.
Right.
But I want you to go ahead and finish your words. Whatever words of inspiration you have to give us, we got about 9 minutes left. So I want to make sure that if you have any more words of inspiration, you give us those words, and then we'll get into that track.
Yeah, I was just gonna end off by saying, what you feed will live, and what you starve will die. And I think that sums up everything that we are doing. Each one of us have our inner gifts or inner sets of gifts. And if we look within ourselves and we believe in ourselves and we share our gifts, a matter of fact, the word universe, if we share our gift in this universe, and the word uni mean one, and the other part of the word verse, uni, one, verse means song. So all of us have a part to play in this song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all
yep.
of us need to share our inner gift with the world, right? So if we continue to feed our God-given gifts and share it to the world, because I don't believe gifts are these material things, right? I believe gifts are what we have within, right? So if we feed positive things will live. And if we feed negative things, that is what we cultivate, negative things. And hence the reason I have encouraged murder, you know, to come and, you know, feed our youths with positive things, positive ways of doing things, positive perspective. And just his lone presence being there is positive enough, right? To let them know, you know, I am all the way in New Jersey and I'm here. 6 hours of flight to be here just to let you know that I'm sharing my presence, my gift with you
right.
all, right?
And that's, right.
That's, I would say, priceless, priceless. So I'll end up by saying what you feed will live and what you starve will die. So we are going to feed positivity and we are going to continue to feed opportunities for those who are 100% our future. And it may be musically and it may be campaign-wise and we'll continue to do it. You know, united we stand, I believe, through collective action. Through collective actions, we can accomplish many things. Right?
I agree.
I also believe that I also believe that one butterfly flapping, you know, that butterfly wing could have an effect. And if you combine millions and millions and millions of butterfly and they flap their wings together, I believe that a typhoon could occur around the world. And that's like the movement we're looking forward to.
A little bit.
You know, so inviting. Yes, a lot, a little bit, going right back to what my daughter said, right? You know, we come together and we share resources and we share ideas. And like I said, we combine our gifts and we be able to make huge things, I would say, happen. And I invite you, the host. I didn't get your name of Uplift Radio. Is it Uplift Radio?
Get Lifted Radio. Get Lifted Radio.
To join us, you know? Perfect. I mean, that's a perfect name. It's self-explanatory. Get
exactly.
Uplifted Radio, right? So it's self-explanatory.
Exactly.
You know, you
hey,
come on.
You know what? I want to add to that real quick because we're probably down to like 4 or 5 minutes. DFL,
yeah,
that's
six.
An awesome idea. 3 minutes, so I'll make this quick. DFL, that's an awesome idea. Maggie has always wanted to find more ways of getting involved. We can shed information. You guys can connect together after this, and we can shed some information that DFL, if you got good stuff that's going on in Belize, you call up Maggie once a month and
Definitely.
Tell her exactly what's happening in Belize. That she doesn't need to get it from me also. You could do that for her also, and that's a good outreach program for all the artists and everyone else that's in Belize to know that we have another outlook, and there's multiple people that are connecting, and I think that's a great thing.
Always. My
yeah.
motto here is the spot to get connected. So, you know, Get Lifted Radio, like you said, it's self-explanatory. It's here for those who are looking to get the word out in regards to their inspiring journey. And, you know, I'll obviously discuss some of the topics that are going on today, things that are not talked about very often that should be talked about. And right now, I feel like racism and the youth is very big. And anything that we can do here on our platform
oh.
to help spread the word, whether it be put things on our blog or what have you, all you have to do is reach out to me and we'll make sure it happens.
All right. You want me to weigh in a little bit on racism?
Sure.
If,
we got,
if you allow
we
me
got,
to.
We got 4 minutes. We got 4 minutes left.
I have your blessing, Mr. Murdoch.
Go right ahead, bro.
Racism. I think I read a little studies recently, and they talk about racism, and they talk about you see how you have mental disorders. I think racism is becoming categorized as a mental disorder because it's a program mindset, right?
Yeah.
So it's something that. It's like brainwashed. It's not ingrained or encrypted, but as a result of a period of exposure effect, it becomes like a maladaptive thinking, right? It becomes like an error in your thinking. So it has now been looked at as a mental disorder. We cannot deny that it does not exist because we can see the effects of it, right? And
right.
if we are able
yeah.
to, I don't know how we'll treat such disorder, a mental disorder in people who have been programmed or I would say brainwashed, and then as a result have been ingrained in seeing racism in that light. However, it will be a huge paradigm shift. So to let them see, rather than see skin, right? A sentence should not begin with skin, nor should not end with the color of your skin, but rather a sentence should begin with love. And I'm talking about authentic love. I'm not talking about love that we look at on a day-to-day basis, such as sexual intercourse and, you know, lust. But I'm talking about authentic love. We love each other as human beings, right? And we love each other as human beings, driven from the foundation of love. Loving each human being basically means that we see them from the point, view, and foundation of love, rather than, you know, like a car. A car, we see there are many cars, but the driver in the car, we don't really see on the highway, right? But actually, the car is not you. So your outer appearance is not you. It's what's inside of you is you. And so we succumb to our lens. I think we need to, you know, see things through a different lens as it relates to
racism. Real quick, we're down to a minute and 30.
Yeah.
We got a minute and 30.
All right, I think that, you know, to sum it up,
we'll have to do it. We should do a recap. Murdoch, if you got any quick shout outs you want to give real quick, we got a minute 20.
Quick shout out, of course, my man on the phone right now, DFL. Big shout out to DFL. Big shout out to Groove Master. Big shout out to everyone in Belize.
Yeah.
Big shout out to DJ Flex. Flex, I see you still out there doing your thing. Big shout out to Atlas Major. Big shout out to the Shooter. Big shout out to all the artists, Tanya Clark, everybody in Belize that are artists and doing their thing in Belize. Big shout out to Maggie Love, everybody that's there. And just know that it's Renegon season and shit's about to happen.
You heard it. It's Renegon
season. Yeah, shout out Murdoch, the host, Get Lifted Radio. Big up all the Belizean. I was just last night alongside Groove Master hosting the King and Queen Carnival here in Belize. So just big up everybody. Leon, big up yourself, bro. I'll buzz you.
I appreciate you, Murdoch, as always, for being a guest.
As always.
I appreciate you for staying tuned in with Get Lifted Radio, man. And make sure you keep us abreast on what's going on. We got about 19 seconds, so I am going to play What You Do. Until next time, peace and love.
All right, guys. Take care.
I don't know what you do, but getting money is what you do. We living good from what you do, so cheers to what you do. But I don't know what you do, getting money is what you do. Being good from what you do, so cheers to what you do. But I don't know
how you get it, how you make it, how you want it. I'm by my paper, about to kill it, I'm about to call it. I'm on the fight, I'm on the road, searching for the gold. Looking at these crackers, turning up their fucking nose. But shorty know I'm popping, know I got Belize locked. You know I'm well renowned, know I keep the streets hot. So many brothers say the woman is the motivation. But I'ma tell you it's the money that's the motivation. Shit is dedication, that bring the melody. So what you telling me, baby, is I'm the remedy. I'm the reason, I'm the plug, I'm the pedigree. I'm the truth in the booth, this is energy. I'm in my Nike SD boots, doing donuts in the corner in an Audi coupe. When I make it, I spend it. When I spend it, I love it. When I love it, I bust it. I'm my mama so tough.
I don't know what you do, but getting money is what you do. We living good from what you do, so cheers to what you do. But I don't know what you do, getting money is what you do. Being good from what you do, so cheers to what you do. But I don't know.
I went to school to learn to handle the boards. I was always sufficient when it came to the chords. Then I went back to school to keep the knowledge intact. Shot and edited my own video for facts. Took a trip to Belize and I gave some speeches. I spoke to the kids about money and visas, land and property, the things they have, about the things that the world wanna snatch and grab. This is essence. Hip hop taught me the best. Every morning I wake up and pray I'm the best. When you sleeping in the morning, I'm taking a test. Got my MacBook open on top of my desk. And the BBN Kings is the squad I rep. That's me, Buzz, Papo, DFL, and Bless. Groove, Sing, Kyle, Mark, Building, Leon, yes. One love to my niggas that felt like breath.
I don't know what you do,
Getting money is what you do. You're living good from what you do. So cheers to what you do. But I don't know what you do. Getting money is what you do. Being good from what you do.